So welcome. Please introduce yourselves, starting with Kim.
So I am Kim Gillum. I am the Manager of Planning and Development.
And my name is Dustin Bisson. I am the Senior Planner for Clearwater County.
So we are here today to talk about the land use bylaw. And there's been a lot of talk about it. We finished the municipal development plan earlier this year, and there's a lot of references to the land use bylaw in there. What is the land use bylaw? What is a land use bylaw?
So a land use bylaw is basically a set of rules for development within Clearwater County on what you can and can't do on your property.
So if people own the property, why do we need a land use bylaw telling them what they can and can't do on that property?
Well, I mean, that's a bit tricky, but basically some of the things you do on your property can affect your neighbor's property and the people around you, and so that has to be taken into consideration. The land use bylaw addresses things such as setbacks from property boundaries so that you're not kind of right on top of your neighbors, or also you have to be a certain distance back from the road so that if the county needs to do some road construction or road widening, then they don't have to say, hey, well, we have to take down your house now because it's way too close to the property boundary. We need to widen this road.
Okay. And, you know, I've heard the example of people saying, you shouldn't be able to tell me what I do on my property, but then their neighbor wants to do something and they go, hey, they can't do that. And so really these rules are to help neighbors live better, more easily together, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we've got a lot of acreages. I mean, it's a big mix of farms and acreages throughout the county. We're very blessed to have a lot of people that want to live here.
Yep.
So, you know, in the cities, they say good fence lines make for good neighbors. And I don't believe with that completely, but, you know, having some rules around what people can and can't do. And certainly in more dense areas, right? Like there's going to be a different land use bylaws in areas where it's a multi-lot subdivision versus somebody on a farm.
Yeah, there's often more rules for the smaller parcels just because there's greater effects on the land, but also on your neighbors when you're directly adjacent to somebody. So you're going to be a little more limited to what you can do. So if you're in a multi-lot subdivision where you have, you know, 3 acres of land, you can't have a full-on farm on that. That's probably going to be a nuisance to all the other immediate landowners in that multi-lot subdivision, but also the land just can't withhold that either. Can't maintain that.
So why are we doing the land use bylaw now? Why are we rewriting it now?
So the last time we looked at the land use bylaw, and the last time it was really reviewed in depth as it's being done right now, was 2010. And since 2010, I think we all can agree that a lot's changed since then. If you look at Stats Canada, our demographics have changed. And certainly what people are doing on their property and what they're wanting to do on their property has changed in those 13 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, that was when we did the update from the last MDP. I mean, this actual document that we have originally was approved in 2001. So like the full land use bylaw is older than that. And just there's a lot of things that weren't even a thing on back then and they are now. So, I mean, yeah, we're just living in a different world than we were 20 years ago.
Like C-cans and campgrounds and
secondary suites,
greenhouses. And, you know, things that people want to do today wasn't even a topic of a discussion 20 some years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so who does the land use bylaw affect?
Everybody. Anybody who owns or lives on a piece of property, it affects them for sure. Yeah. So obviously the rules are going to be different for a farm quarter section over an acreage parcel or in like a hamlet, but there are rules on every single piece of property within the county, or like commercial properties as well. They have obviously they're going to have different rules again, but there's still rules. So it affects everybody who owns or lives on a piece of property in the county.
Or operates a business on a piece of property here in Clearwater County.
But the reality is, generally speaking, if people, you know, have been living and operating and getting along with their neighbors for years, this probably isn't going to change what they're doing very much.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't know that for sure, but that's one thing with this rewrite that we're doing. We have to kind of bring some things forward, and it could affect some people and it might not really affect others. But I mean, that's why we need to hear from people, whether it be positive or negative. Like if there's stuff that they like about the land use bylaw that they don't want to change, we need to know that too, because then if we don't know about that, then if we make those changes, then all of a sudden it's created a problem for somebody that wasn't a problem before. Because we've changed the rules on them. And yeah, if we didn't know that that's the way they want it to be, or that the way they prefer it to be, then yeah. So we need to know if people like things the way they are too.
So how are we going about getting the public's input?
So we're basically, we've had our first round of open houses to get feedback from the public to see what's working in the current land use bylaw and what needs to be fixed or adjusted. I think for the most part, we can all agree that the majority of it's pretty straightforward and will continue to work well for folks of Clearwater County. But
yeah, we have the they're able to fill out a form right on our webpage and for the land use bylaw rewrite. If they just have ideas that pop into their head, they can send us a note on there at any time, or send an email to us, LUB at clearwatercounty.ca. They can send us an email and say, hey, I heard that you might be changing this or that, or I really like this, can you keep it the same? And then so we're just kind of keeping track of all those notes, and it'll be the things we consider over the next number of months as we prepare the rewrite with council and the public advisory committee. And and so they can just kind of provide some input, and then at some point we'll come back to the public with a new draft document for them to really look through and provide additional feedback on what we've proposed and whether they have like things or don't like things that we've proposed to change. They're going to get a lot of feedback at that.
So what is the public advisory committee?
So we created a public advisory committee to try to get members of the public to help us draft this rewrite. So there are 8 members of the public on the advisory committee that council selected. So a number of people put their names in, but we had to narrow it down. So there's 8 people on that committee, and we're so basically we'll go to them and they'll kind of help us hash out some of the changes that we're making, because it's obviously it's really challenging for us to have everybody in the county be on a committee to give us their input. It's really hard to have discussions. So we've kind of put members of the committee on there so we can discuss with them some proposed changes and create some draft policies and things like that. And then they will review and kind of give us some feedback on that. And it also gives them an opportunity to take some of our suggestions and comments and stuff out to the community and speak to members of the public and bring those ideas back to us. And just people from different sectors of the community, you kind of get somebody from tourism or agriculture on the committee. And so they're going to be touching base on a variety of different aspects of the community.
So through the public advisory committee, council is trying to hear the different segments of the acreage owners, the farmers, and oil, and like all those guys.
Correct.
be able to have input, because they all have valid reasons for living here and doing their activities here.
Yeah, so it's just kind of a constant feedback with those groups, and they can kind of touch base with some of the other people within their sectors. And then we're also hoping to have some stakeholder meetings with specific groups that work with the land use bylaw a lot, or may have some ideas on certain industries, and then we can get some feedback on their areas of the land use bylaw specifically as well.
Now, is it the land use bylaw that sort of makes land use districts and requires certain permits for in those districts?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's, I believe there's 30, over 30 land use districts within Clearwater County's land use bylaw currently. And each one of those is different. There's a few different residential options. There's a few industrial options, commercial, and of course the primary one being agriculture.
Yeah, and I mean Nordegg has a number of its own districts, because it's kind of a different community, being a mountain hamlet, and so it has a lot of its own residential districts that were created outside of our rest of the residential districts in the county, because some things need to be treated differently there with the ground conditions and proximity to mountains and things like that. So
this is related, I guess. What is the difference between a building permit and a development permit? Because the land use bylaw tells people that they need to get these things. So what is the difference between a building permit and a development permit?
So a building permit is really goes into more depth of about the construction. You know, how are you building this residence? Does it meet fire code? Does it meet provincial standards? Whereas a development permit basically gives you permission to simply build on a property within Clearwater County. As far as building permits go, Clearwater County is not accredited when it comes to those building permits. Whereas development permits, we do have authority to permit different sorts of development right across the county.
And in the development permit, that's where you tell them they have to be so far back from a road or so far back from a septic system or something.
Yeah, so it depends on what the permit's for. But generally, if it's for a structure, like setbacks from property boundaries, and then possibly the size of the building, there's limitations depending on the type of building it is. And then, or if they're operating a business, that's where you might regulate, you know, business hours and things like that. But yeah, and then the building permit is really the physical structure of the building and whether it's to safety code for occupancy, things like that.
And I know there's a perception that, you know, people coming, especially coming from larger centers where there's a lot of rules coming here, they're thinking, oh, there's not as many rules. I don't have a close neighbor, so I really don't have to get a permit. But the truth is, in Clearwater County, we've got rules that we have to follow under our own bylaws and provincial legislation as well.
Yep.
So people should be, anytime they're building anything,
they
should be coming and talking to you guys, right?
That's correct.
The MGA requires every municipality to have a land use bylaw, whether it be the city or a county or whatever. If you're a municipality, you have to have a land use bylaw, and what that land use bylaw, and they kind of have a few things you kind of have to have in there, but then they leave it up to the municipality to actually indicate what those rules are going to be depending on what your municipality is. And so, yeah, like the city has a land use bylaw, but so do we, and the rules apply and you need a permit.
And certainly there are some examples where development permits are not required. However, for that information, they can come speak to one of the staff down here in the planning department, and we'd be happy to let them know what they need from us to complete their development.
And that goes to, I guess, another question I have. What is the difference between a permitted use and a discretionary use?
Yeah, so basically a permitted use is a use that's allowed within the district, and like you can impose conditions if you want to, but essentially if that use is listed in that district, that's going to be A-okayed every time as long as it meets the requirements of the bylaw. So if they can meet the setbacks, like we're going to approve that, check off, see you later, like no big deal, and they can go ahead with that. If it's a discretionary use, then it's kind of up to the development authority whether that use is appropriate in that location and whether we approve it at all, to be honest. So, yeah, if it's a discretionary use, the development authority may or may not approve it and put additional conditions on it. But a permitted use is basically, as long as they're meeting the other aspects of the bylaw, then it's pretty much a rubber stamp.
In the current land use bylaw, there are very few permitted uses listed in each district. And that's something that I will be that we'll be looking at to review during this process, the number of permitted uses and what should be essentially rubber stamped, if you will, when it comes to getting permits.
Like I know, you know, on a farm, somebody can build a barn and there's pretty much nothing on that. And my job is to invite businesses to come in. And one of the things they run into is in some of our few industrial parcels that they're like, well, I can't just go ahead and do some of these things that they you would think is automatic because they're listed as discretionary rather than permitted. So
yeah,
I personally am hoping some of those things become permitted uses because it's seen as a barrier to businesses going, oh,
and
that's not an automatic barrier.
Yeah.
That's not an automatic approval. That means I have to go through council and maybe through an open house or something again.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of shows the age of the land use bylaw. Like most more current land use bylaws have a number of permitted uses that are listed within the appropriate district that basically if council is prepared to rezone that property to that zoning, they should be prepared for certain uses to proceed on that property. So if they're going to, you know, approve a multi-lot subdivision with some light industrial uses, there should be more than farming listed as a permitted use in the light industrial district. Like we have, if they're prepared to rezone those properties to that, they have to be okay with a few certain uses to move ahead on that property. Like that's the whole point. They go through rezoning, say, okay, it makes sense for that type of use in this area. They have to actually have uses listed that can be signed off on for business, because it is, it's a hindrance for people because we could say no to anything essentially right now.
So what are some of the more common things that have come up over the years that were that you guys are probably looking to change?
So certainly the storage of campers on a residential property is one of the more hot button issues.
Even on a quarter section. I mean, absolutely. Right now our rules apply across the board and they're not really supposed to have like small family campgrounds or storage of, you know, like if you have a quarter section and you want to keep your brother's trailer on your property, you're not allowed to do that under our current land use bylaw. And it's like, well, is that realistic? I don't know. Like, probably not. But I mean, maybe it wasn't as much of a concern again 20 years ago when this bylaw was, you know, kind of the current at the time. So again, it's one of those things that have changed that, you know, might not be the way people want to see things now. And sea cans have come up in a lot of conversations, and again, they weren't really a thing 20 years ago, but a lot of people use them for storage and other things now. And so whether that gets included in the land use bylaw, and if it does, in which districts or how it's represented, yeah, there's a variety of things. But yeah, the list, that increasing the number of permitted uses as well, like so that businesses can know that when they go through rezoning, they'll actually be allowed to operate.
Secondary suites is another issue that we're looking into. Bonafide needs is really the only way that you can have a secondary residence on a parcel of land that's under 80 acres in size currently. And you know, with the cost of housing and the situation that we're currently in, with the price of housing and different things like that, you know, secondary suites are becoming a very popular topic of discussion, even here in Clearwater County.
And a bona fide need, I mean, the purpose of that in the past was, I have a relative that really needs some care, but the idea was that that home would be removed once that relative was no longer living there.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't take into account that, you know, I've got kids that need to live in the area. They're not in physical need the way bona fide need was.
Absolutely.
But I want a place for them to live.
And bona fide need was really based on a compassionate sort of understanding or a compassionate need, if you will.
And yeah, and really a land use bylaw is not supposed to be addressing the people using the property, but like the actual physical use of the property. So basically we should be addressing whether like it makes sense to have a second home, however that may be, on that property or not. Like, does it, can it withstand it? Like, can they have septic systems and things like, can the parcel manage that, a second home? If it can, then, you know, is it reasonable or is it going to cause problems with the neighbors, things like that? So it's really having that second residence on there regardless of who is using it, basically. So yeah, it shouldn't really be related to the person, but the physical structure and use of the property.
And I'll bring up family campgrounds. Yeah. I mean, just because that's a common thing. We enjoy having the scenery and the geography that we do. People all across the province, they want to come to Clearwater County to go camping at their family's farm or their family's acreage. But our current land use bylaw doesn't really allow that.
That's right. Currently in the land use bylaw, any sort of camping on a property would require that property to be redesignated to a recreational use. Whereas we know that there are a number of people out there, just as you said, they're coming out for the weekend to camp on their family's property. There's family reunions that take place, you know, for one weekend of the summer. why shouldn't that be that be something that's considered? And that's certainly something that we heard during the MDP process, and it's something that we wrote into the MDP that we would be reviewing and looking at changing during the land use bylaw review process.
Okay. So there are certainly things you as planners have encountered mm-hmm. over the years. I mean, people coming and saying, oh, I want to do this. Like, well, our land use bylaw doesn't allow it, but yeah. we'll make an amendment. So there's a small list of things that you would like to see changed. Mm-hmm. Is there anything from the public that you've heard?
In addition to
so
what,
far?
Yeah.
I mean, the advisory committee is just getting set up and started, mm-hmm. but through the open houses.
Yeah, with the kickoff events, we heard like a few additional things that that came up. And I mean, renewable energy has been something too, you know, like obviously the provincial government regulates that to a certain extent, but they do encourage municipalities to address it in some way about where in which areas they might be okay with those types of uses. So I mean, yeah, putting something along those lines within the land use bylaw. Is there some other things that you remember from the list?
Certainly, one of the hot button issues is dealing with gravel pits or resource extraction. That's something that is being looked at, and the process around that has changed with the update in the municipal development plan. All gravel pits will be redesignated to a direct control district, and council will be the final decision makers when it comes to approving gravel pit development permits in Clearwater County. That's something that's been started. That was something that was started during the MDP process. To tie everything all together, it'll be completed during the land use bylaw process.
And gravel pits are really difficult because it's a needed resource.
Absolutely.
Clearwater County is very fortunate to actually have lots of gravel. Because there's some counties that don't have any or they've run out.
Mm-hmm.
But gravel is always in the most scenic areas along rivers and creeks and so on, which is where people want to build there.
Yeah, and it's a very disruptive type of use for sure.
Absolutely.
So like we're aware of that.
At the same time, we need gravel. People who are building their homes need gravel. So it's an essential resource.
Yeah.
In desired areas.
Absolutely.
And we try to regulate hours of operation and stuff like that with things, but obviously there's generally a lot of concerns and a lot of people will contact their counselors directly about it. So this way the decision goes to council directly, and the council as a whole will make decisions on those permits going forward. So it's not put off on any other body other than council directly to make those decisions on how those new permits will be operating.
Will the land use bylaw help in streamlining any development processes or permit processes at all? Or is it just trying to clarify things for people?
Yeah, the process is pretty set for most of that. And there's kind of requirements on process through the Municipal Government Act on how we have to review and process permits. So that probably won't change a ton, but... just kind of really clarification for people so that when they look at the land use bylaw, when they read something, they're like, I don't know what that means. Or they might think it means one thing or another, or like it's addressed in a different place in the bylaw and they don't think to look there. So tying things together and just really clarifying things so that it's easier to read for everybody. So they, when they read it, they're like, no, they know what the rules are. They don't have to be like, well, I don't know what that means. Or they have to, hopefully they don't have to ask us so much. They can actually understand it themselves. So we're hopefully gonna, try to simplify some of the terminology as much as possible so that people can understand it. And it's not overly complicated. To be honest, there's a few policies in the existing one where I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Regulations were written a different way.
Yeah,
20 years
and
ago.
It was before my time, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, I have to interpret it in whatever way it's written, and it's challenging for us even at times in certain things. So we want to make it understandable for us, but for the community as well.
You shouldn't have to hire a lawyer to help you
to read
interpret
your own
our
document.
Policy.
Yeah.
Okay. Is I think we're coming close to wrapping up. Is there anything about the land use bylaw or residents providing input into land use bylaw rewrite? Is there anything that you would really like to be able to say at this time that people could know?
Yeah, certainly. Watch the county's website. Watch the newspaper ads. There will be more opportunities for public open houses coming up for you to have your say and to pick up that new the draft land use bylaw that we've created, and you'll be able to have your say at that time.
Yeah, and if you experienced anything or you have experienced anything where you found something was challenging or you liked a process or things like that, like I said, we're kind of taking constant feedback right now while we develop the new land use bylaw. So feel free to give us a call or email us or what have you as the process goes along and let us know what you like or don't like. If there's something you're like, hey, like I'm a farmer and I like that, you know, putting up a barn is a deemed approved use and I don't want to have to come in and permit to put up a barn for my horses. So I want that to stay the same. Like, let us know that stuff if you're, that's the way you want it to be, because otherwise changes might be made if we don't know. And then you're going to be like, well, what the heck? Why'd you change it? And I'm like, we didn't know you liked it. You have to let us know. Yeah. Not to say that it will be changed, but it's just, it definitely helps to know what people like about it now and what they don't like. Yeah. So if anything pops up where they're like, well, I didn't know that I had to do this or that or whatever, and make those changes.
I'll bring up one thing that, just wanting people to be aware of. And it's a combination of the municipal development plan and the land use bylaw and the permits altogether. We have a lot of agriculture buildings that were originally built. Again, it's a permitted use, built as an agriculture building.
And then they're changing them.
But then they start using it to store their work vehicles, and then they start to use it as their work office, and whether it's a welding shop or oil field services or something. And then they start having employees work out of there.
And that requires a new permit. So that's confusing for some people because they're like, well, I got a permit for the building. But when you're changing the use of the building, you also require a permit. So if you are not using it for the use you originally built it for, and all of a sudden you're wanting to operate a business out of it, you require a permit to have a change of use of that building. And there may be more rules there. And then we also like to know when people are doing that because, you know, having a farm building, there's going to be different safety codes rules for that too. So we like to let people know, it's like, well, you're likely going to require a new building permit, and there's going to be more requirements for a business to operate out of that building than there would have been for a farm shop. So it's like, be aware, because like, depending on the type of business, you might have to put sprinklers in, and like, obviously you don't need that for a farm building, but you might for a welding shop or something like that. And then that's going to be, you know, possibly a hindrance for you, moving forward with that business. And it's a requirement of the provincial government to have those permits in place for public safety.
And the building codes are actually national.
Yes. Yeah.
Federal.
Yeah.
And certainly when it comes to businesses operating, you know, we love to hear that, somebody started off with a small business on their property and it's expanded and taken off. We want to hear those things, but sometimes those businesses require new permits because they've expanded beyond what they were approved for previously.
Yeah. So every time things change,
absolutely,
they should be talking to you guys,
checking with us, because they may or may not need a permit, but it's best to ask us, because otherwise you come forward or a neighbor complains and then we have to do compliance stuff, or you go to sell it and then we're like, well, you don't have approval for that, and then it's and then it causes a lot of delays and issues there as well,
and it's starting to impact insurance as well,
because
somebody whose building was built to ag standards, storage standards, which, they're very minimal.
Yeah.
But then they start using it for a shop with employees and so on. If they can't prove that they've met the building safety inspection,
they
might not get insurance on that building and the equipment stored in that building.
Yeah, or if something happens and then, maybe the insurance company will be like, well, sorry, we can't cover you for that because you didn't have your appropriate permits in place. And then, will that happen? I don't know, but they could. And then it's just like, well, sorry, like it's your responsibility as a landowner to ensure that everything is compliant. So It never hurts to give us a call and we can let you know if you need a permit or not.
Right. Because the goal is to work with people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we want to, the easiest way is to let people know ahead of time.
Yes.
Before they're doing things rather than, oh, I did this expensive thing and now I have to redo it or change it. And, Well, thank you for coming in today. I'm sure throughout this land use bylaw process, we'll probably have another interview or two. How long will the land use bylaw review and rewrite probably take?
We're hoping to have the process completed in about 18 months' time.
Total, yeah. Okay. So we're hoping that it'll go to council for approval in the new year of 2025. So there'll be a lot of review and working on creating that new document over the next 6 months probably, and then are a little bit about that, and then we'll have a draft document to take back to the public and get significant feedback on. I mean, we totally anticipate getting a lot of positive and negative feedback about what we've come up with, and then we'll kind of take it back to the drawing board with that and make changes with council, and then possibly do a little bit more public consultation. But we're hoping sometime in early 2025 to have a new document in place.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of stuff to do in that amount of time.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot of work on our part and with our consultant for sure, but we're going to work hard to get it done and work with the Public Advisory Committee and council, and hopefully we'll accomplish what we're hoping to do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.